If you want to be funny, if you feel funny and relaxed, do such stuff. If you feel that you want to be serious and you're like this in real life, do serious stuff. Just do how you want to do. There are so many boring things in our lives, I think. Mm-hmm. So can I please have some fun on the internet?
Hi, and welcome to the Code & Conquer podcast. In this episode, we interview Lera Kuncevic, an indie hacker and founder of Clipring Pro, a video editing tool to conquer TikTok as well as Instagram and YouTube Shorts with. Join us as Lera shares her journey into indie hacking, the story behind Clipring, and her insights on building in public and creating video content. Don't miss out on this insightful and entertaining episode with Lera. I hope you enjoy this episode, and let's jump right in. And welcome to the 14th episode of the Code & Conquer podcast. Today I have Lera Kuncevic with me. Who are you? What do you do for a living? And why are you on an Indie Hacker podcast?
Hello. So thank you so much for inviting me. I'm working as a product designer at Parallect, and also I'm founder of Clipwing. It's an app to create cool short clips from long videos, long podcasts. That's it. That was I'm doing now.
And we're also going to try to make some clips from this podcast, I think, which is why we're also recording video, which I only did once now with the last episode. So we'll see what that will bring us. So before we dive into this more, like, what is your background? Are you a technical or non-technical founder and indie hacker?
I'm definitely not a technical founder, and I'm very happy because I have a developer in my team, but all marketing or QA engineering stuff or all designs, everything do by myself. But development, it's for my teammate because, I'm so not technical. So I even don't know how some things are called sometimes. So, yeah.
Yeah, we just talked in the beginning that I mentioned some weird comparison between Next.js and Vue, and that we don't dive too deeply into technical stuff. We won't do this here, so you're perfectly fine. Before we talk about your teammate, which I wasn't aware of yet, how did you get into indie hacking? You also mentioned that you're working at Parallect, but how did you get into indie hacking in the first place?
Well, I think it started maybe in last February, something like this. My teammate Igor, founder of Momentum, he was actively built in public, and I also post tweets, but not really actively, and I just had no idea why I need it. I just made it, and without any, like, just made it. And then I just saw that Igor is really successful here. He found so many cool people, met so many cool people, and he always, like, so excited about everything that happens here. And I started to follow some guys too, indie hackers, that post their updates. They build products like not with a super large team. They just built everything by themselves. And there was so many inspiration in it. And I just became like building in public too without any products. I just helped with Momentum a lot. And I post everything about Momentum. And I started to comment other people posts, and we became friends and something. And they just was in this. I just came to this community, and I realized that I can't do something without this community and without building public. So I just have no idea how to continue building something, doing something without building in public. So that's it.
Just an awesome first introduction clip for the podcast. Before we dive too much into Momentum, we'll get there. We have a question about that. What is Clipwing, the product that you yourself are doing, and how did you get the idea for it?
The idea was also Igor's from the start, because Igor started to create podcasts, and he was always like angry because it's so many time wasting to cut short clips, and he don't want to learn another new product. He wants something super simple that just will do everything. He was looking like, okay, I want this product. There is no such product. You're a designer. Let's have a call. And we just had a call. It was like 1 hour, maybe a bit longer. And on this call, I just made the first prototype in Figma for Clipwing. And that's how it started. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really into video industry, But of course, when you build something, you want to understand your target audience, your users, potential users. And so I used to try videos too. Now I work with videos a lot. And yes, now I know a lot of pains when you create short clips from long videos and so on. So yes, basically, that's how it started and why it works like it works. Because there are a lot of competitors, they're all great, but a really lazy person. And I don't like when I open something, some new tool, and I need to learn how it works. I need to figure out where to press, why do something, how to export, and so on. And we made a prototype that, I mean, design that's not really a super perfect, like, design of the year or something. It's just super simple, but there are just few buttons, but main buttons. So what you do? You upload your long video. You select the needed part of transcript. You press customize, but customization is automatically. You can always change something like caption style, but it's already ready for export. And you press export. That's it. And no need to find any buttons or something.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Also, we added AI-generated clips feature, but it's not about like when you press AI-generated clips and you get 10 randomly generated clips. You just see the best moments from your transcript that are highlighted, and you can just go with them or edit them or just remove them. So that's it. And we're working now on autofocus feature. I think that it will work really great for our episode. Today's mm-hmm. episode, because when you have two speakers or more to cut the needed area manually, it's really difficult, especially when people not like sitting like this, they're like this, and it's really impossible. About, yeah. Yes. So autofocus will be like really a lifesaver, and mm-hmm. we're working on it now.
One thing I'm really interested in, because Riverside, the software we're using right now to record this podcast, also has AI-generated clips, which I really don't like. Also, which what I think is confusing is that I can mark parts of this podcast with pressing M when somebody speaks, and Riverside really doesn't take anything from that to generate the AI clips. So I would have guessed that the podcast host pressing the button to say this is important would do something, but it doesn't. So I'm interested now, as a potential customer even, how do you decide with AI what clips are important in like a huge video that is coming out?
That's interesting, because so AI is like still trying to think, and when I tried competitors, they all have AI generated clips. And from the start, I thought that, wow, that's really cool, because you can upload your video and you automatically get your 5-10 clips. You no need to change something. But when you try these apps to get real results, you understand mm-hmm. that these generated clips just don't have any sense.
mm-hmm. So they're pretty terrible.
Yes. And we don't use AI to cut these clips. We just highlight moments. This is a prompt, simple prompt that highlights the best, the most interesting parts of the text, of the transcript. Mm-hmm. And it highlights just the most interesting parts of transcript. But if you don't like it, you can select some other parts of text. Or if you like it, you can just add something more or go with what AI prepared for you. It doesn't work perfectly because it's AI, and you know, especially when it's your podcast, you know what's the most interesting thing in it, mm-hmm. and you remember what was you talking about. And AI, it's not a person who can like understand person's needs, but people, they love watch something catchy, interesting, maybe funny, and something really insightful. But AI, I think that it works mostly for maybe to highlight something that may be catchy, but still need to be edited.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we use AI.
Yeah, and I think that's better. But I'm still confused that Riverside doesn't do anything with the markers I set. No idea, because that's kind of like very easy to take AI-generated clips from that, but apparently not. So Clipring, as it goes right now, does this. Do you have like a long-term vision for it, what you aim to be, what you're like kind of trying to build on top of that now, and what's like the perfect customer for that?
I will start with perfect customer because I already know who is it. And that's, we found our niche, it's podcasters niche. Mm-hmm. And podcasters, they're our favorite podcasters that want to develop their brands or their social media profiles, but not only post long videos. They're our greatest, like best customers, because it's why we built Clipping. So you can cut your long video into short clips to post it on different social media platforms. And social media platforms doesn't like real long clips. Also, people don't want to watch long video when you see someone's podcast, but you don't know who is it. You're not interested to watch the long video. And when you create something really short with the best moments or with something interesting, really short clip, people will be more likely to watch it till the end and to go to your profile and to see what you really do. So yeah, I forgot what you were asking. Sorry, I started speaking about
you have Clipping an MVP or a little more right now. And what's like the aim? What will be your vision? What will you add in the future to that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So perfect customer, I described it's podcasters that want to grow and develop in other social media platforms. And the main goal for now, for future, it's to go from B2C to B2B. Like, you know, also marketing agencies can use Clipping because video is very important now and short clips, they are just super trendy and this trend will be growing in future. And it's also a very popular tool for marketing right now, videos. Mm-hmm. And a lot of marketing agencies and marketing specialists use video. And yeah, Clipping can help them to save their time and money to create more videos. Because if we speak about guys who cut videos manually, that's great. But when this person charge you for every video and you need a lot of video, so use Clipping, it will be cheaper.
And also kind of podcast networks would be an interesting B2B customer, right? So the professional podcasting networks.
Yes. Sure.
Mm-hmm. You're working like we have a little network of related projects that we have to uncover here. So one that you're working with is Momentum, and as I understood, you also built this with the Paralect guys. Or maybe one question before we go into that, like what is Paralect and what is your part of that? Because that's always something I've seen you guys on Twitter, and I know that it's a very open company that's kind of not using email and using tweets instead. So what is Paralect, like what's the, like the, what is that and what is the basis for the rest of them?
I joined Paralect at last February. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and started building in public from the start. And I think for me, I can say it for every other guys who work there, but for me it's a perfect place where I can grow and just develop myself because it's my 9-to-5, but I can grow my own startup right here, right in this place. And I can't imagine something like this in other places because, of course, I had in other places where I worked before Paralect. And, for example, when I was a designer, I wanted to start using Webflow and also to become Webflow developer. Mm-hmm. And they was like, no, we have Webflow developer, you're a designer, you do only design. And I was like, okay, and now I can do everything. Not everything I like, but it's great, still great to do so much things. And a lot of things that I try as the first time without any experience, it's always really scary. But I feel this trust to myself from guys from Paralect because they trust me that I can do it. I feel it this way. And it's great. I can't imagine myself really. 1 year ago, I couldn't even imagine that I will be a product manager and QA engineer for my own startup. It's just crazy. And yes, I love that Paralect is very transparent and allows it to say built in public. I believe that not everyone like it because some people, they think that some things should be only in internal channels, very secret, and let's sign NDA or something. But I think that we live in modern world and we don't have something to hide. And yes, Paralect is a company and let it be a media company. So and everyone in Paralect can be a media person. And I think that for me, it's just great match. All my wishes from the work and all my good feelings to build in public, and Paralect also has the same vibe. Like, people with whom I work in Paralect, they all have the same vibe and I love it.
Mm-hmm. And as I understand, the 9-to-5 work that Paralect does is agency work in nature, right? Or am I completely wrong?
Paralect is our source company. Mm-hmm. And if we speak about my job here, I work on part-time on as a designer to our client's project. It's Vera mm-hmm. Skills. Founder Daniel, he's also on Twitter, but not really active, but he's a cool guy. So basically everyone just work on projects or full-time or part-time. And there are some guys like me and Igor, and we are building something more than only client's projects. So Igor has Momentum and I help him. I have Clipwing. We also have Salt and Bolt. It's a design studio that our designer, head of design, Lena, she founded this design studio. And yeah, so we're like a large outsource company, but we have our own stuff. And yeah, that's it.
And that's a perfect gateway into the question that with one of the things that you were part of and were kind of building with Igor, which is Momentum. What is that specifically and what did you do there?
When I joined, Momentum already existed, but like mm-hmm. it was the beginning of our build in public stuff and it was the beginning of Momentum. So we had no users, we had nothing. And what I did, I needed some content to post on Twitter to start building mm-hmm. public journey. And I just started to make marketing stuff. So not really design, just marketing, sharing everything about Momentum, every updates, reposting Igor and sharing everything about Momentum that I know and that is planning to do. And yeah, that's it. And also it was in February or March. And I think that it was in May when we launched in Product Hunt. Mm-hmm. And that's when everything started for me, I think, like really started. Because we was the product of the day, and then we was product of the week in marketing category. And this day was like crazy. That's my favorite day of this year, I think. And mostly, yes, I did, not mostly, I think that my work on Momentum is marketing. And so I can say a bit more about Product Hunt with Momentum because...
One question before that, just to make sure. So Momentum itself, what is the company or the product? It feels like from the outside when I look at the landing page, it's like a built-in public accelerator of some kind. What's the... Like, what are you doing there?
It's not like an accelerator, but it's like product, but it's like a lot of products inside Momentum. Mm-hmm. So we have page this, like, but all these products, they are for early stage founders, who, mm-hmm. for founders who want to start their journey, for indie hackers who don't want to spend, they don't have time and money to hire someone, but they already ready to collect users in waitlist to launch their landing page mm-hmm. and to grow interest to their products and themselves. So Momentum products are for early stage founders mostly. Mm-hmm. And what we have there, they're super simple. So that's also how Clipwing works. So even a child can use it. And that's about Momentum too. Momentum page is no code builder, well, website builder, but it's without any, you know, absolute sticky fixed position, all this mm-hmm. stuff, without any presence.
Not the typical web flow
yes, yes,
stuff.
Yes, yes, yes. There are yeah. just some inputs when you just enter your title, subtitle, text in the button, add some links, and that's ready. It's just ready, and it's ready to collect your users, to speak with these users. So, yes, and while I'm working mostly on Clipwing now, Igor worked on my Momentum page, and something crazy is coming. I just super excited about what he's doing now, because it's like not Momentum page 2, it's like Momentum page 100, I don't know. That will be still super simple, but with more possibilities, but still very simple. And also Momentum Wave, it's super simple analytics for your website or application. And Momentum Feed, I think that people can use it in different cases, there are some different use cases, but my favorite is because, as I told you before, I am a bit lazy person and I don't like to check what people post on Instagram, on Twitter, on LinkedIn. And Momentum Feed is great when you see everything on one place and like your own library of your thoughts and knowledges, something like this.
So it's kind of taking the content from all the other platforms and all publishing them all there. Okay.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah, and there are a lot of stuff on Momentum too, but I think that to speak about Momentum, it should be like a separate episode.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. One thing from the website, though, which I think is very relevant for you, is that on the landing page, they say that every company is a media company, and seeing how you promote Clipring and how what Clipring does, which is kind of meta, right? Because it's a product about creating content for which you create content. What do you think about that sentence, like being like every company needs to be a media company?
I totally agree with it. And also I can say that Clipring is a company. And I post some stuff from Clipwing's account, but mostly from my own, because I'm also a part of this company. I'm like a heart of this company. And people won't follow companies. They won't be interested in companies that are just silent. You see the landing, okay. You see the Twitter profile, but with super not really emotional, just super business posts. You'll not be interested. There should be something emotional behind all this stuff. And that's why every company should be a media company, in my opinion, because when you're media, you're everywhere. Everyone will, okay, not everyone, but more people will see you somewhere in Twitter feed or somewhere else. More people will hear about you and share about you with other people. And if someone will be interested in person, for example, in me or in Igor or in Zima or someone else who works on Perlect, if they are interested in us, they can check what Perlect is, what is Clipwing is, what Momentum is, because they love founders, love their stuff, that person. And yeah, it's very important to be media person and media company right now, also because it's modern life when everyone is on the internet, everyone spent a lot of time on the internet, they want to see some content in their feed, something interesting, and there are a lot of companies, and you should be special in something. So probably try to be special with your marketing and your media stuff.
I wrote that question down right now, but I actually think that this fits better later, but I want to ask it still now. How should people that are not like perfectly extroverted and want to do marketing every day, how can people still handle this part, like be a media company, so to say, and be very present as a person instead of just pushing my product? How can you do that?
You know, I'm really introvert and it's very, it was very hard. It was very hard for me to start this building in public and sharing updates. Also because I thought that I don't like to meet new people, to speak with new people. I was really stressed and it was a bit annoying for me. But I just realized that when you love something that you do, you want to share it. You want to talk about it. And okay, I have my friends, but if I will speak with my friends about my product, they will not be my friends anymore. So this media stuff and this building public and all these social media platforms when you can share your updates, it's great way to share about your thoughts, about your emotions, about how happy you are with your product or service, how sad you are if something is broken. And just don't think about what people will think about it. Just don't think that you share it like really to people. Share how you feel it. Like you have your thoughts in your head, just share it in the internet and be yourself. Don't pretend that if you're introvert, that you're extrovert. Don't pretend that you're so friendly and like, so just be yourself and post like you want to post, like you really speak in real life, like you think in real life. So that's maybe the advice.
I think that's something like we're on episode 14 now, which is also very crazy. And a lot of the founders or the indie hackers that I had on, they're resonating with exactly that, right? That you have to be in the building public community, not like I want to sell my product here. It's more like I actually want to be talking to people from this community, building other stuff, and we'll support each other. And you actually have to have fun with that. It doesn't really matter. Like you can't join the community just to sell your product. That's what I feel like. And that's what kind of the core of that phrase is.
Yes. Also, yes. And also when you, it's great to sell your product in Twitter, but when you post everything and you share your experience, it should work like this. So people will see how you build your product, will see your marketing, will see who are you as founder, and they will be probably more likely to buy your product just because they know enough. They just don't see this super basic post like, wow, try for free, but buy later.
Yeah,
they see something more interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Going back a little to Clipwing and checking that product out again. When you think about the path that you have now already behind you with Clipwing, what was like the biggest challenge building that? Because I can imagine like the content scene is very big and there's a lot of products. What was the biggest challenge when building it?
Well, we started after this idea came to us. We had Startup Summer in Parallax this summer. There's like courses for guys who want to become programmers, but they have no experience, and these courses last for 2 months, and they always work on real projects. And Clipwing was one of these projects. So it wasn't hard part, because there were like team of developers who teach our students, and they just told like, okay, now do this part, you do this part, you fix this bug, and so on. And we released our MVP. But then courses ended, and I had one developer from this team, Alice, and I had no idea how to be a team leader, how to speak with someone when you're like a boss in this situation. And the most challenging part was that my developer, Alice, he had no experience in working with team, and I had no experience being team leader. And it was so, I just even can't explain, because I was suffer so much. I couldn't explain a lot of stuff to him. And there were a lot of things that was really wrong and that didn't work. And I always was like, but okay, it's only my fault. That means that I do something wrong and I should change something in my like behavior, product manager behavior. And it was a hard journey, probably 2 months I suffered, because, you know, I don't want to be a person who always asks, how's the progress? Where's the task? I don't like it.
A real product manager.
yes. I don't want to be this person. And I wanted Alice to become really independent, who shares just updates in Slack or on Twitter, or just DM me, like, I made this, or I haven't made this. So something really like this. It will be enough for me to understand at what step we are now. And to start sharing updates, it should be like a habit. And it's hard to grow this habit if we speak not about bad habits, but about something good. Yeah, and I was really stressed, because I understood that I should be more patient in this case. And I was, but you know, when you're not satisfied with something, or when you're upset, and when you keep it inside yourself, it's really hard. And I didn't want to be like angry boss. So I never told Alice that something is wrong. I just continued to repeat that, let's share updates. And what can I say now? It's perfect now. So it worked. And I just remember it like the worst moments in my working career, because I understood that, well, we was boss without any experience. working in a team, and it was really hard to find some vibe and be on this vibe together, and not to share updates and not to do some micromanagement. And we did it, and I'm just super happy that we did it, because now it works and now I trust him. If something doesn't work, I know that he's working on it and it will be ready somehow, because now we know each other more and we trust each other, and it's much more easier. And I was really stressed for the first time, because there were also a lot of bugs, and now everything works better. And even when our production application is laid down, for example, I'm not stressed, because now I know that I have a cool developer, great guy who will fix it. So that was my main challenge, I think.
That's actually cool to hear that you kind of had to like grow with the challenge and then kind of overcame it in the end. But yeah, I can imagine, like, for the first time having to tell someone else what to do is going to be a little difficult, I think.
Yes, and I hated myself for it, because I just understood that I don't like to tell people what to do. Mm-hmm. I feel really strange at these moments.
Yep. Regarding Clipwing, when you launched the software and then actually people could use it, and it obviously wasn't an MVP stage probably, right? What was the feedback like from the first user? What did they tell you about the app? Were you running into the correct direction already then?
The question about users is very interesting too, because it's really hard to find users who will use it and share the feedback. Mm-hmm. So my favorite user is John. He is also working on Parallax. He records podcasts too. Mm-hmm. And he often uses Clipwing from the start. And he's the guy who uses it from the start and shares his feedback. And sometimes I think that from the start there were like more, not bad feedback, but some requests. Because there was really just expert clip without captions, without anything. So I never has heard something bad, negative feedback, but had a lot of requests from the start. And, you know, the great part is when your users share the request, and when this is your first user and really user who use it, not every day, but every week, at least every week. Mm-hmm. I really love when we work on his requests. And I love to share it, like to make a screenshot from board with tasks, and when there will be like a task that he requested. So I think that's very important on the early stage too, because you don't have a lot of customers and it's not really hard to pay attention to these customers. And that's not about making someone special, but I think that it's really cool when you're a client, you're a user, and you understand that you were hurt. Like, it wasn't like, okay, thank you for your opinion, we will think about it, goodbye. But it's like, we hear you and we did it. We do it. And yeah. So, wasn't some negative comments, but there were a lot of requests, and they're or in progress or already done.
Are you actually planning? I know that you already talked about that Momentum launched on Product Hunt. Do you plan on launching on Product Hunt? Or do you already know when?
I don't know yet. I'm going to launch on Product Hunt, but I don't know the date yet, because I really want to launch the Clipwing when I will get at least 5 users who always use the application. Not just registered, but they often use the application. They have some maybe a successful case study or something. Because when we launch Momentum, I think that a lot of things changed since this time. And building public was a bit different from what it is now. And I don't say that it was easier, but I think that it was easier maybe to hype on something, because building public wasn't so active and so popular last year, I think. And now I just think that everyone becomes indie hacker or founder. And that's cool. That's very inspiring. It's really cool. But it's also harder to promote your product, to be different, to get your users. And competition is really, especially in my case with videos, videos are trendy. And a lot of people make products about videos. So competition is crazy. And yes, it's hard to be, maybe not to be, but it's hard to risk and launch when you have when you don't have really good examples how it can help, this product can help you.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are a lot of launches now, and well, I just don't want to miss my good day on Product Hunt, so mm-hmm. I don't want to hurry up with this. I'm always like, do it today, launch it today, but about Cliffhanger, I think that it should be a bit later.
I think we had, I have to remember the name. Sorry, I need 1 second. Mm-hmm. I have to look up the name and then I will ask the question. I think we had Sandra Jajic on the podcast, was episode 8, I guess, who also said that one of the most important things on Product Hunt is that you actually have a huge list of people who notified, like want to be notified about the launch. And I feel like launching very early now, with like very little users, is kind of impossible to get into the number 5 or upwards on Product Hunt in any given day. That's what I feel like, I think.
Yes. And also, if you have a lot of people who press notified, and it's fine. In my case, I think it will be people from Twitter, just who supports me, love my content, or just my Twitter friends. And they're still not my target audience. Mm-hmm. So they will press upvote to support me, but I need more people who maybe my potential customers who will be interested to successfully launch on Product Hunt. Yeah.
Yeah, I just heard that we now have a new word for that. Instead of saying word of mouth, so people are actually talking about the product, we now say product-led acquisition. Which is the same thing, I think. Yeah, so actually people using the product and talking to their friends, have you heard about this cool video platform? And then you can actually launch at some point, so you have enough users that are promoting it, right? We're going into a little build in public slash content creation part of the podcast, and I wanted to ask you some questions about actually creating the video content, both with Clipwing and for Clipwing, as you do. So when you actually start out with video content, I can answer this on the audio part, but I want to hear your part about video. Do you actually have to start with an expensive setup because everything seems very polished in the internet now? Or do you like can you start more scrappy than that?
I know I always like really often hear like people say that I can't do something before I buy something, like mm-hmm. I can't become a designer before I buy a super expensive MacBook or something. But I just show you how everything looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So do you see it?
Yeah.
That's my setup.
Yeah.
Finally, I know how to use all my books. So that's why I think that you can start with everything you have. You have your mobile phone or you have laptop. It's enough in most cases. You can try, but what if you won't like it? What if you decide not to continue all this stuff? So why should you spend a lot of money on buying all this expensive stuff and to see this perfect picture if you're not sure that you will do it and everything will be good? But now, as I more often visit podcasts now, I think that now I want to have more quality picture and sound. So I'm thinking of buying something, yes. But that's because I already started to use to create video content and I won't stop. And I love joining podcasts. I won't stop too. I want to do it more often. And why not to buy? I'm ready now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it would be super stupid if I bought it from the start because no, just no.
I think there are two categories of people who can make it work, right? The first one is the one that you are and that I was at the start as well, which is just get the minimum that you can do. I did get a really good mic from the start for the podcast, so because I wanted the audio quality to be awesome, but the rest was like building up from every episode. And the other category of people is also that kind of works, but you have to have much more money for that, is people that go, I want to learn to play guitar. So I'm buying a 2,500 euro guitar because that's going to be the quality that I need. If that motivates you, right, that's fine. It motivated me that I bought an expensive mic that I actually now have to use it. But I think that the scrappy setup start is better in the for most people. So you actually can try something out, see if you actually like it and stick with it. That's what's your biggest point, I think. And I just wanted to make a small shout out to Hanko Neumann, who is also an indie hacker on Twitter, who records, I think, 15 minute bits on his phone as well and just posts them to Twitter. And if you take a look at his videos, you never actually think too much about the quality of the setup. It's just the words that he's saying is the important part. So I completely agree on that. That expensive setup is awesome, right? I still haven't set up my camera. I haven't upgraded that from a webcam, and people probably won't notice. That's my take. Yeah.
And also, you can spend a lot of money on expensive stuff, professional stuff, but you really won't be satisfied still with the results because you just don't have any experience. And even if you have an expensive like camera or expensive microphone, it won't help you just because you need to try how it works to understand how it works and then buy everything.
As a guitar player, that's why I was doing this example. It's the same thing for expensive instruments, right? You will be able to play on that guitar and have a very nice tone. But the thing is, you're such a bad guitar player in the start that it doesn't really matter.
Yes, yes.
And I actually, for podcasting and for my guitar playing, I went the route of starting scrappy. And then when I noticed, and I think that's a good measurement, when I noticed that the quality of the instruments or the software or whatever is holding me back. So I'm now at a point where I can make a better quality thing. When I have better quality hardware, software, instruments, then I can actually like upgrade stuff like that, right? And I notice, okay, now I'm knowledgeable enough about audio or about video that I know what is going to be better when I upgrade. That's kind of the part where you can actually upgrade then, I think.
Yeah, and it's also about experience. Experience.
Yeah, sure, experience, yeah. One thing that I'm really interested in, I myself only do podcasts, and we talked about this on Twitter at the past because you were looking for customers. Mm-hmm. And I started doing the podcast only audio. We now have two episodes. Like one is already recorded. The other one we are recording right now was also recording the video, so we can see what we can do with video content, I guess. So I'm really new to this. So could you talk about what's the big benefit of doing this, of creating video content from stuff that might, like podcasts can only be audio? What's the benefit for me, for example?
It also depends on podcast topic, because sometimes, you know, you also want to show something, like to place some screenshot or website link or something, and visual, it works better in this case, but it's a rare case because for now we're just speaking, we don't need it. Mm-hmm. Okay. But let's imagine that you are not really popular, you have no listeners at all, and
I can't
you want
imagine
to grow.
Sorry.
you want to grow somehow, and what you can do, you can just cut your short audio clip and place somewhere because people won't listen to it because they don't know what is it, who is it. But when you see short clip, it's visual, and you know, when you see something and see something, when you record it long video and cut it into short clip, you see this short picture and you will focus on it because when it's short, it's more dynamic and it's more so when you just hear something, it's not enough because people have a lot of feelings and they want to, it's better to use them all. Like you can hear, you can see, and you can feel something emotional because you've seen something that you like and hear something that you like. And when you only hear, it's very easy to focus on something else. Like you can hear podcast on background, do your own work and you won't be like actively listening because you focused on your work or something. And when you see video, especially short video, because long videos also you can lose your attention when you watch something long, but short videos, they were great because it's enough to be catchy, to catch users' attention and to grow interest in user. And it's much more easier to grow your product or podcast or whatever when you use video content, because like when you watch something, especially when you watch something, then you even don't need no need to listen. And oh, my favorite part, okay, very strange speech, okay. So my favorite part also about, I love to listen something, but I not always have my headphones with me. And not everywhere I can like turn on the sound on my phone. And captions, they always work great. So you can post short clip or even long video with your captions, and you can, more people will see it, will watch it, because they can watch it without audio, but they will still understand what are you talking about and what are you discussing. So that's also a great point, because just you can catch attention of more people with video content. And yes, visuals, because it's catchy, and when the dynamic picture works better for people because they won't lose the interest. They want to watch it and keep watching. That's it.
You can kind of like the three big social platforms that I can imagine pushing stuff like this on are pretty much YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram now. Do you have a favorite platform on there? And do you have tips for all of those platforms? Because I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yes, I have favorite, and I have one that I really don't understand and don't like. So my favorite is TikTok, maybe, because I love how TikTok works when you post your first video, like really first video, because TikTok always help you to promote this video. So just be sure that your first video is really cool, and more people will be interested to see what you will post next, because TikTok will show your first video to a lot of people. Also, promotions work really good there. And TikTok, I really love their algorithms, because when I open TikTok, I think that only one video from 10 will be not in my like vibe or my interest. Nine from 10 will be just match with me. So they know what to show you. They will always show everything that you like and that you want to watch. YouTube is strange, because TikTok, I think that it works cool to become viral, but YouTube also good for it. And I have a really strange experience with YouTube shorts, because I have clips that have 10 views. At the same time, I have the same, not the same, but also clips about clipping that have 10,000 views. How it's possible without promotion? So like, and these clips, they're just near each other. How it works, I don't know. YouTube is strange for me. But I think that it also can be viral, because I still get website visits to Clipping without promotion, but just from YouTube, from Instagram, from TikTok, because I always, in comments, I always mention Clipping. And even without promotion, people still see it in their feeds and go to website. They don't become my users, but they watch, and I think that it works somehow. Instagram, there is very interesting tip on how to post on Instagram, because Instagram doesn't like when you made your video in TikTok. I don't know how they understand it, but they understand it. And be prepared that if you made your video in TikTok and then you post on Instagram, you will get zero views.
Yeah, okay.
It's true. And also it's strange, because recently one of my clip worked really good on Instagram. And it's just one and only video that works there. And yeah, I still continue testing all this platform, because I post the same videos everywhere. Videos that is viral on YouTube is not viral on Instagram and TikTok. And so I just really, it's interesting to post everywhere because different videos became viral or popular or just get 10 views. Maybe some tips, mostly as I love TikTok more, I can say about TikTok more. Mm-hmm. And my favorite tip is to use trendy sounds on TikTok because it also helps you to get into someone's feed because there are some sounds that are really trendy and every second video on your feed will be with this sound. And when you go to this sounds page, you will see that like 1 million videos with this sound. And sometimes you can just go to the sound page and also start just watching videos with this sound. And such people who do it, they will see your video because you also use the sound. And I always use trendy sounds. But of course, I want to like them. So not just trendy, but ugly sound. No, I like the funny, cool, but trendy sounds. And I think that also works because I have no idea what is the reason why people see my videos. I think that it's because of sounds and also hashtags. I think that it's important because I know guys who post hashtags like building public, indie hacking, startup. Yes, it's great on Twitter, but if you want to grow on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok, it's better to say something more. Like, if you have funny video about indie hacking or about startups, just add a hashtag like lol or mem or funny because more people will also see it. And yes, they are not your target audience mostly, but more people will see it, more likely it will go to your target audience feed. Because indie hacking and building public, all this stuff, it's not really popular on such platforms. And it's cool to add such hashtags too, because it's really relevant and people who will search for building public, they will find it. But it won't give you any views, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So
adding both kind of hashtags, right? I'm still using the build in public hashtag, but I'm adding something like hashtag funny or something like that, more generic.
Yes. I remember that one of videos that was also popular, it was like lifetime messaging when guy messages with his girlfriend. And it was, okay. Of course, it was fake messages. It was like about stories. So people watch it and think that, oh my God, so much drama. I want to understand what happens, but all this video ends with this, that this guy says his girlfriend that he used clipping. So that was the clip. Yes, but
very
this
clever,
message.
Yeah.
Yes, but this message was about relationships, love, and yes, I used hashtags like marketing, startup, built in public, but I also used hashtags like love, relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend, so on, because it will help this video to get more views. So yeah, it's how it works.
One more question about TikTok maybe, because I turned 30 this year and I kind of feel like a boomer when people are talking about TikToks. And I'm still not on the platform and I try to stay away from it, even though YouTube and Instagram got me into shorts and are taking too much time away anyway. You're a little younger than me still, I think. And maybe you understand the Zoomers better. How, like, What are we missing as indie hackers? Should we all be on TikTok or does it really not matter? Like, what was your experience there?
I really love TikTok and I also joined here maybe 1 year ago. I joined TikTok just as a watcher, not a TikToker. And yes, I love it also because you can, of course, there are a lot of funny, stupid content, but there are also a lot of insightful content, something about business, startups, or just about politics, food, whatever. And you can scroll, before you go to sleep, you can just scroll your feed, and you will see every video that you will be interested in because algorithm know what you love. And no need to watch the long video to know something about how Coca-Cola is for your health or something. Mm-hmm. You will just see the short video and get a lot of information from this short video. So you can spend much less time on watching something and learn the same way, learn more. That's how it works. Also, I think that's like it's time for short video content And TikTok is the best place for this video content. A lot of people use TikTok, watch TikTok, and I really believe that TikTok ads work great. And to promote something, even if it's not a product or service, just promote. You can promote everything without any paid ads on TikTok. Just if you understand your target audience, if you spend some time to understand some TikTok trends and what other people do to maybe find some inspiration and style for your videos. And yeah, it's the best way to get attention and to grow, because in few years later, I think everyone will be on TikTok and everyone will be using short videos just because it's time saver. And yes. And I think that's very important to tell something really important in a short way than to talk about it for a long time, because you know how it works. So you will watch something, you will watch the film because you already know about this film, who is there. Mm-hmm. Who is the producer, who is the director, what is the history of this film, and so on. So you will watch it only because of it, but if you just see the poster or just know the title of this movie, you won't watch it because, you know, like 2 hours, no, I have some stuff to do. And that's with podcasts, with long videos on YouTube, not podcasts, and you won't watch it before you understand who is these guys, what is this about, and short video will give you understanding what is it. So yeah.
So it's kind of a funnel into the longer form stuff.
Yes, right? Yes.
One thing, do you think that the TikTok algorithm performs better than the one on Instagram and YouTube? Because my experience with those two has been that there is a lot of irrelevant stuff when I scroll through it.
Oh, that's when I joined TikTok, I deleted it like the same day because it was crazy. I was so weird. I saw so weird stuff. I saw videos that I was like, what is it? I don't like it. And I scroll, and I don't like everything. And then I became like, I just download it again because I don't know why. Maybe because, okay, I don't know why. So I downloaded it again and I started scrolling this feed. And I still didn't like everything that I saw. And when I watched the video that I liked, not really liked, but it was near something that I may like, I liked it and I watched it till the end. And I started to see more relevant videos in my feed. Mm-hmm. And it also works how long do you watch some video? So if you see something that you don't like, but you watch it till the end, TikTok will think that you like this video, even if you didn't press the like button. So I just scrolled very fast everything that I don't like and stayed in these videos that I like. And yes, my algorithm is perfect, just really perfect. But I think that, yeah, it's crazy because I think that maybe for 3 days I scrolled my feed. I don't know why, but now I'm pretty happy with my algorithms.
So you kind of have to train it to actually show you this the right stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah. One more thing maybe, because we were just talking about that. The way you are doing your videos is a little bit different to some other indie hacking people. A lot of people are understanding indie hacking as I'll just post updates about my app. I'll just put a screenshot on Twitter and say, yeah, now there is authentication done and stuff like that. And there are people like you, and the first person that came to mind also was Mark Luvion, who are kind of having fun with it and posting in unconventional ways, I guess. How did you get the idea? How did you start with that? What's the benefit of taking it a little I know the benefit, but yeah, how do you get on that fun approach and start doing that instead?
You know, I'm a serious person who builds startup, really businesswoman, but I don't really like all this serious stuff. I don't like to scroll my Twitter feed and see only big numbers about money and clients. And I decided to create videos and pictures this way that I want to see in my feed because it will be also more honest. Because I will do it not because I need to do it, because I love it and it's funny and I love to I love the process of creating it. And I think, yes, it may be something different because we often see really boring with marketing videos. And when you show that you can be crazy or funny, or you can talk about your product in a meme way, I think that other people will see that, wow, so it's possible, so I shouldn't be like so serious. I can also do something more crazy or more less professional or something. So, I just see that a lot of people love these videos. Not like a lot of people, I'm not so popular, but my followers love it. And I know that I would be happy if more people will do something like this, because it will mean that, not like this, I just show who I am. And mm-hmm. I speak, you know, you see how I speak. And my videos also are there, something like this. And it's also easier for me to create such content because I shouldn't be pretending like I'm other person. And mm-hmm. I just really want to sell you right now in this video. No, I just want to show you this product and want you to be interested in it. And I just want also people to see how I do. It doesn't mean that it's the right way and it's the only right way, but sure. To see that you shouldn't be afraid doing something. Because just do how you feel you want to do it, how you can do it. Because I record myself by myself. So I just have my phone on my table and I'm just like somewhere in the flat. So yeah, it's really simple to start with it. And when you do it also more often, these videos, you starting to feel less scared about this video creation and more probably creative, because you when you create videos, it's better to watch other videos and what other people do, and you can find a lot of inspiration there, or just to see something that probably you may like the idea but you don't like how it looks, and you may think mm-hmm. that, or just to like several ideas but combine everything in your head in one clip. And it also will be something new, but cool. And just, yes, if you want to be funny, if you feel funny and relaxed, do such stuff. If you feel that you want to be serious and you're like this in real life, so do serious stuff. I think, like, just do how you want to do. And I want to do this way, meme way, because I know that I will scroll down video with boring, like, I don't know, I just, there are so many boring things in our lives, I think. Mm-hmm. So can I please have some fun on the internet?
Perfect. We're already at the finishing questions. The hour went flying past. So we always have two finishing questions for all our guests. And the number one is, what are you excited about right now? And that can be technology and work related, or it doesn't have to be. Yeah.
It's work-related. I'm really happy about Clipping like it is now, because we had 2 months of endless bugs and I was really upset. I started Building Public less active because it was like I can't speak how bad everything every day. It's not normal. But we fixed everything. As I told you before, we mm-hmm. now have a great communication with my developer, Alice. And everything is good now. And I understand that I use Clipping. Of course, I use Clipping because I think that no one will use your product if you also, as a founder, don't use your product. So mm-hmm. I use it. And now I understand that, yes, it works. Not perfectly, but it's really what I want from Clipping mm-hmm. already now. There are still a lot of things to do, but I'm still really happy. And yes, I just love that without any experience before with video editing, I just can use Clipping, my own app, and have benefits from it. And I think that kind of happiness, maybe. So yeah.
Perfectly fine, yeah. And I'm also, the thing is, I'm also now starting with video content a little bit and see how that feels like, if that's something, like it's all, I actually need software like Clipwing, because I don't want to like spend another few hours next to my 9-to-5 doing the podcast and now doing shorts as well. So I will see what Clipwing does for me and if it's performing better than Riverside, because Riverside is taking too much time. I already know that. Yeah, so I will see what Clipping does for me.
And you know, you can also, as autofocus feature is in progress right now, so mm-hmm. for now you can just share with me some videos if you need, and mm-hmm. we can do something local on local, I don't know, this tech stuff, like local
yeah,
stage.
Local host.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and then try it on production, because it depends on needs. Mm-hmm. But I'll be happy to help, because yes, we're talking so much about Clipping, why not to help?
And I'll be sure to do to give feedback through that as well.
Great.
We have one last question already. What's like the one lesson or advice you would give someone that was just starting out there in the hacker career now?
My favorite advice, because I think that I repeated it a lot of times in mm-hmm. this podcast, I always repeat this phrase, just be yourself, because in this indie hacking world, and when a lot of people start to build something, it's hard to be special, it's hard to be to be interesting for people, because these people, your potential followers, they see people like you every day, a lot of times in your feed. So show yourself. Don't be another one founder who just share boring stuff. And I love, there are a lot of people who share everything, something personal or something boring, because work is boring sometimes. And I also sometimes my tweets are really boring. And that's normal. But just show your face too. It's important, because when people remember how you look, they will associate, they will also have more trust into your mm-hmm. product, into your journey, and into you, and more interest. And they will remember you because they saw mm-hmm. your face. And that's also works great. And that was what I tried with our Momentum Product Hunt launch. I think that there were a lot of pictures with our photos when I make mm-hmm. some fun stuff. It works. Also, don't be afraid to fail, because you may fail. And we all may fail. And even if you fail, start again something, some other things. Just because if something doesn't work, it doesn't mean that everything won't work in your case. So mm-hmm. just understand that something can work, something no, but keep trying, keep building, be yourself, and be friendly, maybe. Because I think that if I would ignore everyone who comment on my posts, I would never have supporters or Twitter friends mm-hmm. or all these followers. And support other people too. That's really important. And when you support other people, that's also about your communication, your trust between all of you. And indie hacking is about all this stuff too, about communication. So yes, keep working, keep building.
Well, we're at the end of the podcast for now, Lyra. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing all the stuff about Clipping and about building in public and how we can push content on TikTok, I guess. Where can people find you and your products?
Of course, you can find me, Lyra Momentum, on Twitter, on TikTok, mm-hmm. on Instagram, on YouTube. And only product is clipping.pro.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you for being here, Lyra, and yeah, have a nice evening. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Goodbye.
Bye. And that's our episode. Thank you for sticking with us to the end. You can find Lyra on Twitter with the username This Will Blossom. That's THISWILLBLOSSOM. You can find links to her product there as well. I hope you enjoyed what you heard. We're always happy to hear feedback. If you're building an indie hacker business yourself and want to be part of the show, we're also really happy to hear from you. You can find me on Twitter with the username IceBearLabs, that's IceBearLabs, or send us a mail to hello@codeandconquer.fm. And you can now also find this podcast on Twitter with the handle CodeConquerPod. Thanks to this episode, you can now also find us on Instagram and TikTok with the same handle. We're gonna push some video content there as well. We also have a website you can check out. We're posting articles about the biggest learnings of each episode there as well. Go to codeandconquer.fm to find out more. If you're one of the people who listen to this podcast on the Apple Podcast platform or Spotify, please consider rating our show. It lets other people discover this podcast and helps us grow this even bigger. Thank you so much. Till next time.